Since the September 11th terrorist attacks, tourism in Washington and New York has been hit hard. Both cities have begun advertising campaigns to lure visitors back. Today in New York, a postcard writing campaign is being launched to entice people to visit New York City. President Bush also is trying to help the Big Apple. The House Appropriations Committee votes tomorrow on an anti-terrorism bill that contains an extra $5.5 billion to help rebuild the city. The bill is expected to pass easily in committee, but it could run into trouble when it moves to the full House, perhaps next week. The Senate has yet to write its own package. And after September 11th, many companies instituted travel bans or put in place new travel restrictions for their employees. With the economy reviving, the airlines are awaiting the return of those corporate customers. But there's one problem. Some companies have concluded that their employees don't need to travel as much as they used to. NPR's Jack Speer reports.
For the money-losing airlines, it's becoming increasingly clear some of their best customers, business travelers, won't be coming back anytime soon. Marianne McInerney is with the National Business Travel Association. She says one reason is companies have simply discovered there are other ways to get things done.
Business travel, if we look back at it, began to decline early in 2001. And the softening economy was just, it was a 1-2 punch with September 11th that really caused companies again to look at their second largest controllable expense, business travel, and look for alternatives.
At Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport on a recent weekday morning, there's the usual bustle of men and women pulling suitcases and attaches along a moving walkway. That's despite the fact business travel has fallen from its hectic levels of a few years ago. Robert Grenadier is CEO of a small online firm, MarketResearch.com. He says for companies like his, face-to-face contact remains important. That's why his employees still travel fairly frequently. It's the time wasted in airports he finds most bothersome.
It's more an issue of the amount of time it's taking for folks to get their travel done as opposed to really the expense.
But if travel is still the lifeblood of many young upstart firms, bigger, more established companies are cutting back on business travel. The Business Travel Coalition, an advocacy group that represents large companies and organizations, polled its members and found last year they spent 16.5% less on air travel than they did during the previous year. 3/4 of those companies say they'll be even tighter with their travel dollars this year. Kevin Mitchell is the coalition's executive director.
In short-haul markets, again, those markets 500 or fewer miles in distance, that's where it really hurts because, you know, the traveler's got a choice of going to the airport and getting hassled for $1,200, maybe 6 hours door-to-door, or to jump in a car for a tenth of the cost, you know, 5 hours door-to-door, be productive, listen to Rachmaninoff, and it's an easy choice for a lot of travelers.
The airlines are aware of this. America West, the nation's eighth largest airline, started a price war by cutting the cost of its unrestricted tickets and by eliminating Saturday night stayovers. But business fares are still high. The average round-trip business fare is expected to total just over $1,100 this year. Mitchell says that's prompting companies to use technology like online travel sites to try and bring down their travel costs.
Companies are beginning to consider what's been dubbed Plan B, where they just forget about airline contracts and they put all of their employees on an internal marketplace, and they enter into a contract with a Travelocity or an Orbitz or an American Express, and they let their employees go after all these web fares and other published fares and just be done with all this hassle.
Another thing companies are doing to control costs is requiring that higher-level managers sign off on employee trips. Karen Richard is with Rosenbluth International, a major travel management firm. She says she expects that change may be permanent.
The CFOs in most of the companies that we work with are very involved in regards to setting corporate travel policy, and I don't think we'll ever see it go back to a low-level type of administration function. I think you're going to see the CFOs and upper management very involved with travel moving forward.
All of this puts more pressure on the airlines, which derive 65% of their revenues from business travelers. In the past, they used higher fares charged to business flyers to offset other fares. But now they're caught in a bind. In order to woo business flyers back, the airlines may ultimately be forced to cut fares. That's at a time they are losing billions of dollars with no prospects for a turnaround anytime soon. Jack Speer, NPR News, Washington.